Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram jaiva narotamam Devim sarasatim vyasam Tato jayamudiraye. Thank you very much. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita summarized, text number 15, 1-5. Yam hi na vyathayantiyate purusham purusharshava Sama dukkha sukham dhiram Somrittattvaya kalpate Yam hina vyathi antiyete Purusham purusharshava Samadukha sukham dhiram Somritattvaya kalpate Yam hina vyathayantite Purusham purusharshavam Samadukha sukham dhiram Somritattvaya kalpate. Please chant. Yam hina vyathayante te Purusham purusharshava Samadukha sukham dhiram Somritattvaya kalpate Yam hina vyathayante te Purusham purusharshava Samadukha sukham dhiram Somritattvaya kalpate Yam hina vyathayante te Purusham purusharshava Samadukha sukham dhiram Somritattvaya kalpate. Anybody else? Yam. One to whom? He. Certainly. Na. Never. Vyathayanti. Are distressing. Ete. All these. Purusham. To a person. Purusha Rishabha. O best among men. Sama, unaltered, Dukkha, in distress, Sukham, and happiness, Dhiram, patient, Saha, he, Amritatvaya, for liberation, Kalpate, is considered eligible. Just to give a footnote, this word ete, all these, is referring to the previous verse. And the previous verse is speaking of dualities of heat and cold, happiness and distress. And so in that verse, Krishna says, Arjuna, we should tolerate such comings and goings of something that's a sense perception. So he's saying now that, O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, ete, this, and is steady, sama means steady, in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. So here, the benefit of tolerating heat and cold, happiness and distress is being given. That if you are able to tolerate, you become eligible, you become like a candidate for becoming liberated, for amrit. Mrita means death, and amrit means no death. So this is the benefit of, because somebody may say, well, if I am tolerant, will not somebody take advantage of me? You know, because I do not retaliate or react. What if I'm cold and if I do not become warm? So we'll deal with that, but please repeat after me. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, and is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. Now, there's another significant meaning to this verse. This, the word sama, meaning he's undisturbed or equal. It's referring to Arjuna's arguments. It's also referring to Arjuna's arguments, like he did not want to do his duty, because he gave reasons, because. So if you are able to sama, be undisturbed in your duty, then you become eligible for liberation. Like, it's not just a question of happiness and distress and heat and cold. It's a question of, what does undisturbed really mean? It means undisturbed in your prescribed duty, in your devotional service, in the activity that we should do, our sadhana bhakti. So all kinds of activities, one has to be undisturbed if he is to be eligible for liberation. Otherwise, he forfeits, he loses. He may gain the, like if it's cold, he may gain heat, but he loses this other benefit, this higher benefit, this more important benefit. There's an interesting... Srila Prabhupada, I forget if he wrote this or he spoke it in a lecture. So there was this discussion of salaries, you know, salaries. You're in a temple and you get a salary. And so you know, the question was, is that right? Should one do it? Should one get a salary? How many of you asked this question or have thought about it? You can put your hands up. Salary, have you? Like, has the question come up to your mind? Right? Put your hands up. Yeah, no. Some of you haven't. Okay. Anyway, there is a salary. And the question is, should one do it or should one not? So, Srila Prabhupada says that, oh yes, it was Gaudi Prabhu. Gaudi Prabhu, he spoke in the temple room. So he was explaining, Prabhupada saying this, that then that is what you got. The salary is you forfeit back to Godhead. You forfeit rest. In other words, you can't have this and that. So here Krishna is saying that somebody who does not become distracted for material needs, bodily needs, kaumaram, yovanam, jara. Each stage of life, there are different pushes, urges, and pullings. There are different, each one. As a child, you're very upset if you do not get a toy. You're not pretending to be upset, you really are upset. When you're older, you really are affected by loss of money and opportunity and so, like that. When you become old, your health, so on and so forth, there's forever pushings and pullings. And we are always affected by them. Krishna is saying, become tolerant. Tolerant to the point that we do not stop our service. And if we can do that, we become eligible. Kalpate, we become considered. We are a candidate. You know, when somebody goes for a job, they give their CV, their resume. Your candidacy is there for that opening. For what opening? For eternal life, amritatva. Yeah. So this is the importance. Because oftentimes people wonder, what's the benefit? I've all my life I've been serving, and what have I got to show for? Have you heard this idea? What have I got to show for? I gave my youth, I'm an old person, and now I have nothing. I could have been something, I could have done something. And anyway, so we'll come back to that as well. So purport. I hope you have some questions that kind of pertinent to this topic here about salary, about liberation and eligibility. Purport. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashram institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order, sannyas, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet for a higher cause he took sannyas and was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. So, just to finish on this purport, that this talk about sannyas. So, it's one thing to take sannyas, but it's another to actually maintain one's sannyas. It's one thing to take on a task, a job, and it's another to actually be able to do it. In my time, there was a lot of competition to become a president of a temple, many times. But so somebody became a president eventually. But then it is one thing to gain that position, it's another to actually hold on to it, to persevere, to not let go, to not, let's say, fall from that service, to stop that service. So this verse is explaining the importance, the relevance of not being disturbed. Vyatha is means in Sanskrit as well as in Hindi, disturbances, and bodily and mental, and emotional. And all of these have to be tolerated. Na vyatha, that by these disturbances one does not actually become altered. He's able to be sama, undisturbed. So my point is that it's difficult. It's actually difficult to maintain one's duty, to carry through what is one's prescribed duty, one's dharma, one's activity, one's devotional service. It's very difficult. It is challenged. It is tested. It will be tested. And if we fall for that test, then we've lost this candidacy. See, you were when you embark in spiritual life, you become a candidate for spirit, for going back to Godhead. Now you're a candidate. Just like, you know, people make an application for a visa. So those of you from abroad, you had a visa to come here. And those in India, they try to go abroad. So when you apply for a visa, you should not do anything to jeopardize it. You know, you should be patient. You should be undisturbed. Otherwise, you forfeit. So when we take up spiritual life, Prabhupada is referring to taking up sannyas, but any level of taking up spiritual life is a form of sannyas. And if we do not maintain that position, we will lose that visa application for going back to Godhead. Now, when you began, your visa, your application was submitted. So, if in the meantime, between submitting the application and actually getting approval, if you become disturbed and you say, well, no, actually I want a salary, then you forfeit that. You may get your salary. You know, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita something very interesting. He says, in the Anta Lila, he says many, many things actually. And one purport, he writes that my God brothers, they wanted temples. They wanted followers and they wanted money. And then he says something very interesting. Krishna gave them temples, followers and money. But he said, but he did not give them the power to preach. So, very serious, very sober. This is, I think, in connection with the verse Kali Kalera Dharm Krishna Naam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartan. Without being empowered by Krishna, one cannot preach. So if you are on a salary, you cannot do it. You have to be that much undisturbed, that much realized, aware that I am not here for salary. I mean, excuse me for using the word salary a lot. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be salary. It could be a position, name, fame, money, anything. But when it is something other than Krishna, when it is something other than our devotional service, we jeopardize. We're gambling our real benefit. Amritatvaya. Our benefit of going back to Godhead is now at stake. So that's the kind of caution here. Now I'll happily speak a little more, but are there any questions so far? Like, does any of this raise any questions or doubts? Prabhupada said about what? Huh? Yeah, Gadi Prabhu, there's a devotee, Gadi.
Yeah.
He comes sometimes from America. He was giving a class and he said, speaking on salary, that this topic was brought up to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, well, if they're getting a salary, then that's all they will get. In other words,
your question audience was, who gets salary?
My question? I'm just saying, if you have any questions so far, I'll proceed.
You're asking.
No, just in case you have. Sometimes in a lecture, questions have to wait till the end. I'm inviting them during the lecture. That's all. Yeah. Any
other example, it doesn't have to necessarily be a salary.
Right. I mean, for example, let's give a Shastric example. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom. Right? He wanted a kingdom. That's what he wanted. And Krishna came to give him a kingdom. But of course, Dhruva Maharaj changed his mind. I'd rather have you than the kingdom. I feel embarrassed that I wanted a kingdom. So we are somewhat like that. Not quite Dhruva Maharaj, but we were wanting to have love of Godhead. That's what everyone more or less joins this movement for. But eventually he becomes distracted and says, no, I'll settle for a kingdom. I mean, kingdom is good. Anything else is good. So this is called, there are two kinds of maya. One maya that covers you, avarana atmika shakti, avarana. Avarana means like a cloud. It covers you. And the other is pratyaksha Atmika Shakti, which throws you down. You try to rise and you throw down. So a devotee who is trying to cultivate love of God, the throwing down potency offers him, you know, some kind of material benefit. And if he says, oh, this is very nice, then he forfeits his journey back to Godhead. There's another example in the Bhagavatam that when Dhruva Maharaj was going back to Godhead on the celestial, on the spiritual airplane, he was taken through all the lokas of the universe, everything that was in the universe. And the point is that if at some point you say, ah, this is very nice, then your airplane stops right there. You don't go further. So there is this point we have to understand that Maya will offer you anything and everything except pure devotional service. And if you settle for it, you shall lose pure devotional service. That's the point. Now, in the case of the devotees in our movement, there was a case of salaries, so therefore salary was such a prominent feature. That everyone felt that I needed an income in order to support myself, and not only that, I need an income to show the next employer I go to that I've done this, I have this job, I had this salary. I was personally involved in that era, that it was a very big thing then. I don't know what is the big thing now, but it just, at that time, it was raised to Srila Prabhupada that there are devotees wanting salaries. So Srila Prabhupada explained that salary you shall get, but that is all you shall get. You forfeit your spiritual benefits. The idea that I can maintain both is not really viable, because it's one or the other. Is that okay? Right. So this verse is referring to exactly that point, that we become very involved and we become very, you could call it an urge or you could call it overwhelmed by certain needs. Like he has to get a house, he has to do this. But what happens is if you become too overwhelmed at the sacrifice of your devotional service, then you lose your candidacy for the path. Now, okay, so this is where the next part of our presentation comes into. How to apply this verse in day-to-day life? I mean, we do have goals that we need to meet. We need to, for example, pay our bills, right? We need to pay bills. If we have a house, a car, if we travel, we need to pay. So it is possible to do them as a devotee. It's not that it's impossible. But there's a different way of going about it. The devotee way is to depend on Krishna. Just today I was reading about Prabhupada speaking about lazy intelligence. And he is saying that the spiritualist, he already understands that whatever I'm striving for is already arranged by Krishna. He already understands. He has faith. For example, food. Food is a natural impetus and a need for every living being, including a devotee. But the difference is, a devotee, he notices that every species of life except human, their food is provided for. There is provision. There is arrangement already in place. And so the materialist, he thinks, if I don't do it, if I don't work very, very hard 24 hours a day, I will die. But the devotee has a different attitude, that even if I do not work so hard, all my needs will be met, especially if I'm doing service to Krishna. But it means to live simple living. You see, there is this catch. You cannot have, you know, restaurant food and restaurant lifestyle and hotels. It's a different lifestyle. Very simple. Maybe khichdi. But you will be maintained by Krishna. It's Krishna's arrangement. So this is the point. Even the devotee is eating. It's not like he's not eating. But he does not do it in a way by forfeiting his desire to go back to Godhead, to become spiritually elevated. That's the point of this verse. Now, the real point is, in pure devotional service, you have prescribed duties. This is the real point. Arjuna is a kshatriya. He's thinking that I don't want to be a kshatriya because I don't want to kill my relatives, right? That's what he's thinking. And he's thinking, I can avoid killing my relatives by not fighting. Krishna's pointing out they're going to die anyway. Battle or not, every living entity dies. But what you will have done is you will have given up your prescribed duty. And then you will have lost this eligibility to go back to Godhead. Whereas if you don't give it up, they may die or they may not die, but you will not have given up your right to go back to Godhead. So this is the point here. There's two ways of going about our life. We can do it in a Krishna conscious way or we can do it in an atheistic way. To become disturbed is to lose faith in Krishna, that Krishna will not maintain me. That's the point. Whereas to become liberated requires a person to have the faith that Krishna will maintain me. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vivarjanam rakshishyatitim vishwas. So he has vishwas, faith, that raksha, the Lord will protect me. Goptritve varanam tatha. He will maintain me. He will protect me and he will maintain me. Like, there are so many situations. We think I depend on this situation in order to be protected and maintained. I require a salary. But actually, it's already going on, with or without a salary. But it may be simple. That's the point. We should... If you don't have that faith, then naturally you're not eligible for spiritual life. Naturally. You don't have the faith. And your lack of faith has exposed it. Your faith in the salary has exposed it. And actually there are people with a salary who cannot make ends meet. They still fall short. There are many people. That's why they have the word bankruptcy. You know, bankrupt means that the expenses are greater than the assets. That's the technical term. Is that okay? Any other questions or comments here? So the careful thing here is that the point of tolerating one's heat and cold and summer and winter is that we do not want to forfeit, we do not want to lose our genuine possibility to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. That's the point. In other words, there's a genuine... See, a person has lost faith. He thinks... He actually disbelieves that I can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. He's not convinced. If he understood that he's onto something very great, he may not actually succumb for something so petty and temporary and transient. He may not. But because we do not have this vision, this clear idea that actually I'm... Just like a person who is trying to get a diamond, he should not worry about people who are picking up you know, imitation jewelry. He's looking for something different. You know, he's on a different goal here. So the mistake is, so this is the mistake, where does the mistake come? Why does it happen? Let me ask you this question. Why does it happen that a person has embarked on the path to go back to Godhead? Why does he succumb to a small petty goal like a salary or this or that? Why does it happen? I'm asking.
Fear.
I'm sorry?
Fear.
Fear, okay, go on.
Material attachment.
Huh?
Material attachment.
Go on, please. Why would somebody who is on the path to go back to Godhead, why would he, you know, give it up?
Huh?
Okay. Think a little bit carefully. What would make him... He began, try to think that he began. Once he thought, no, no, this is worthwhile. I will do it. This is a wonderful goal. Bad association. He is not careful about his association. And he associates with people who are worldly minded, so they influence him. Now he's lost his goal. Now he's thinking, oh no, oh this is important. Getting a car is important, this house, this career, something. Because he got bad association. If he was surrounded in good association, people who are determined to go back to Godhead, if he kept himself, he would not have fallen down. This is what this is highlighting. This wavering, this two-mindedness. Later on, we're going to read the verse Vivasayatmika Buddhi. Ekeha Guru Nandana. He is unable to be Ekeha because of bad association. Yeah.
Any suggestions how
you can... They're asking if you can use the mic so the others on the radio can hear you. You might have to click it on, yeah. I'm sorry?
You come into manna.
Right.
Me too.
Oh, I see.
You know the situation. You know what you would suggest to such people. You know,
right, okay.
The temple is run.
One may not have a choice in his association. Things may be the way they are, right? That's your point.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good point. That's a good point. So what does one do in that situation? Prabhupada said, there are two answers that come to my mind. In one time he said you have to make that association. He gave the example of his own self, that he went to America, and America, you don't go to America for good association, you know, especially not in 1965. There was, you know, nobody there. He said, but I created Association of Devotees, right? He's being very humble and he's thinking, I needed that association. So he said, you created. Another point is that he maintained his good association because he was always conscious of his spiritual master. He said, I never felt that my spiritual master was not with me. So that means association is where our mind is. That's why Krishna says, man mana bhava. You have your mind on me. Our mind, the trouble is our mind goes from, instead of Krishna, to something else. So then bad association develops. Dhyayato vishayan punsa sangaste. The mind is thinking of objects of the senses, then that's bad association. But bad association is also a person who is inserting their influence on you rather than you inserting your influence on them. In other words, you're not changing him, he's changing you. So that's what you have to be careful. So if you're preaching, that's very good. But if you're just taking their association, then that's very risky. Remember, the risk is only in this, that you start giving value to things other than Krishna's pure devotional service. And then you lose this candidacy, this visa you had. You have a visa to go back to Godhead. And you just ruined the criteria for that visa. See, the visa has certain restrictions. This is what you can do, this is what you can't do. Then you can enter this country. You can't. If you go on a tourist visa and you start doing business in America, they'll throw you out. You see? You cannot do it on false pretenses. So this visa of going back to Godhead has been given by Krishna. And it's based on certain terms, certain conditions. And when we become distracted by so many other things, we are forgetting that I'm just about to lose my diamond. I'm going to trade it in for some broken pieces of glass. We should become conscious, aware, how valuable a thing it is that we have been given. Right? And I should not, lose sight of this great possession, this something we have, So that's a very important meditation for a devotee. And Krishna is highlighting this right in the beginning to Arjuna. There's this one question that comes up, that it says that the chapter 2 is contents of the Gita summarized. And, people think, well, I don't see all the other chapters summarized here. But actually they are. It's because we're unable to fathom the depth of everything Krishna is saying. Therefore we don't notice. We gloss over, we skim over the surface. We're unable to penetrate the depths. But Krishna is saying all these points here actually. He's saying, my dear Arjuna, that, think about it for a second. Arjuna is saying, I don't want to fight. Krishna is saying, you're not the body. Question is, what has that got to do with the fact I don't want to fight? This is what it has to do with it. This verse is spelling it out, that you're not fighting for the sake of a kingdom, for the sake of some money. Remember, this was another nice question raised a few weeks ago now. I was on the radio, I was listening. Somebody said, well, whatever Arjuna said has turned out to be correct. There was annihilation of the dynasty, the women, everything, the Vedic culture got broken down. So, he's asking, how is this beneficial? The benefit is not in these things materially. It is spiritually. This life in this world is meant for one purpose only, and that is to go back to Godhead. Everything else is a failure. So if you say society is well, but you do not go back to Godhead, it's a failure. But if you go back to Godhead, that's the purpose of this place. We are judging the criteria for judging whether this path is correct or that is mistaken. And this is a mistake we make in our life. We think success in my life means I should be wealthy. And if I don't get a salary, how am I going to be wealthy? I'll never be wealthy. But that's the wrong criteria. The criteria is that in this life you can go back to Godhead. And maybe wealth was not playing such an important role as we think. This is the point. So Krishna is emphasizing the goal, amritatvaya. He's not speaking of, at least not in this verse, he will speak about it later. He's not speaking of a kingdom. You see. He's speaking of liberated life, perfection of spiritual life. You're not the body, and the soul's purpose is not a bodily purpose, it's a spiritual purpose. We should not forfeit that. But if you're not aware of that purpose, then you already will forfeit. You will make the mistake. It's a question of time. Arjuna was confused. He's speaking of a confused person. He's speaking of everything except spiritual life. The society, happiness, going to hell even, the saintly people, blood of superiors, moral, immoral, everything. Everything except going back to Godhead. So the criteria was wrong. And this is the mistake we all make. It's not Arjuna was special case. Only he made it. We're all... No, it's our mistake. This is our life. We make this mistake repeatedly. So this is for us. That Krishna is saying, my dear sir, you please become focused on going back to Godhead. And in order to do that, you should be undisturbed by happiness and distress, and don't become distracted. Then you will go back to Godhead. Or at least you're eligible, you're a candidate. Once your visa is approved, the Vishnu Dutas come and take you. Any other questions or comments? The answer is in two parts. The first part is, yes, they can do it. They don't have to feel worried about going back to Godhead. Anybody in any position can take up Krishna consciousness. The second part is that there is something called over-endeavor. There are six things Rupa Goswami says that will destroy one's devotional service. Atyahar priyayascha prajalpa niyamagraha jana sangascha lolyamcha shadbhir bhakti pranashyati. So he's saying priyayas means over-endeavor. So when you become overly... what is the definition of over-endeavor is what we're going to come to now. But let me just finish. When a person is over-endeavoring, then he will forfeit his spiritual life. Now, what is over-endeavor? Okay. Srila Prabhupada says that the needs of the human are to eat, to sleep, you know, shelter, and procreation. These are the needs, necessities of every living being. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And he said these are arranged by Krishna. Now, they're arranged according to our modes of nature. Sattva, rajas, and tama. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, according to our proclivity, our tendency, we have certain occupation. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Or in the case of a lady, a wife to one of those four. So, it's the occupation has to be done without over-endeavor. That's the point. It should not be done for a material goal. It should be done as a duty. See, this is the difference. As soon as you do these occupations for a material goal, immediately becomes over-endeavor. That activity has to be done for a spiritual purpose. Haritoshana. It has to be done to please Krishna. When you do that activity, not mindful to please Krishna, but for some goal to become a billionaire, a trillionaire, and five houses and six cars and so on and so forth, then it's over-endeavor. It doesn't have to be a billionaire. If it's just to get 10 rupees, it's over, because your focus has changed. Your focus has changed. Accept what comes of its own accord. Yadrichaya chopapanam. It's a verse coming in the second chapter. Whatever comes of its own accord. And sometimes $1 million comes of its own accord. Fine. No over-endeavor. So it's not the money per se. It's the endeavor behind which is detrimental. So Arjuna was putting the goal, his family, not Krishna, not his service, the family. How will the family be happy? How will I be happy? How will I be happy without them? So, you know, these are his goals. He's not thinking, I have to do my duty. So this is where it's over-endeavor. So we should, whether it's city life, we should be asking ourselves, is it over-endeavor for me? It may not be over-endeavor for the next person, for them. But it may be over, the same thing may be over-endeavor for me. So it's not set in stone that this activity is over-endeavor for everybody. No. According to our guna karma, our own modes of nature and our karma, something may be over-endeavor for me and not for the next person. So it's not imitation. Srila Prabhupada actually became, by worldly standards, a very successful person. But he never did it for that purpose. It was a yadrichaya, it was consequence of his service. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, when he wrote the Bhagavad Gita, he set out to make one person a pure devotee. He wrote this whole thing just for one person to become a pure devotee. That's all. And he said, I would consider it a success if this endeavor achieved it. That's his goal. He's not thinking anything else. But he got so many thousands of disciples, so many hundreds of centers, and so on and so forth. And even after getting it, he wasn't affected by it. So that's a good example. Is that okay? Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.